until the white race realizes that there is only one source from which we can ascertain lasting truths, there will never be peace or stability on this earth. In the immutable laws of nature are the keys to life, order, and understanding. The words of men, even those which some consider inspired, are subject to the translations, vocabulary, additions, subtractions, and distortions of fallible mortals. Therefore, every writing or influence, ancient or modern, must be strained through the test of conformity to natural law. The white peoples of the earth must collectively understand that they are equally subject to the iron-hard laws of nature with every other creature of the universe, or they will not secure peace, safety, nor even their existence. The world is in flames because races, subraces, nations, and cultures are being forced to violate their own nature-ordained instincts for self-preservation. Many men of goodwill but little understanding are struggling against symptoms which are the result of disobedience to natural law. As is the nature of man, most take narrow, provincial stances predicated on views formed by immediate environment, current circumstances, and conditioned dogma. This is encouraged by that powerful and ruthless tribe which has controlled the affairs of the world for untold centuries by exploiting man's most base instincts. Conflict among and between the unenlightened serves as their mask and shield. A deeper understanding of the fundamental laws that govern the affairs of men is necessary if we are to save civilization from its usurious executioners. These few pages are not intended to provide a detailed system of government, but as precepts which, when understood, will benefit and preserve a people as individuals and as a nation. 1. Any religion or teaching which denies the natural laws of the universe is false. 2. Whatever people's perception of God or gods or the motive force of the universe might be, they can hardly deny that nature's law are the work of, and therefore the intent of, that force. 3. God and religion are distinct, separate, and often conflicting concepts. Nature evidences the divine plan, for the natural world is the work of the force or the intelligence men call God. Religion is the creation of mortals, therefore predestined to fallibility. Religion may preserve or destroy a people depending on the structure given by its progenitors, the motives of its agents, and the vagaries of historical circumstances. 4. The truest form of prayer is communion with nature. It is not vocal. Go to a lonely spot, if possible, a mountaintop on a clear, starlit night. Ponder the majesty and order of the infinite macrocosm. Then consider the intricacies of the equally infinite microcosm. Understand that you are on the one hand inconsequential beyond comprehension in the size of things, and on the other hand, you are potentially valuable beyond comprehension as a link in destiny's chain. There you begin to understand how pride and self can coexist with respect and reverence. There we find harmony with nature, and with harmony comes strength, peace, and certainty. 5. Secular power systems protect and promote religions which teach of an afterlife. Thus, people are taught to abandon defenses against the predators of this life. 6. History, both secular and religious, is a fable conceived in self-serving deceit and promulgated by those who perceive benefits. 7. Religion in its most beneficial form is the symbology of a people and their culture. A multiracial religion destroys the senses of uniqueness, exclusivity, and value necessary to the survival of a race. 8. What men call the supernatural is actually the natural not yet understood or revealed. 9. A proliferation of laws with the resultant loss of freedom is a sign of and directly proportional to spiritual sickness in a nation. 10. If a nation is devoid of spiritual health and moral character, then government and unprincipled men will fill the vacancy. Therefore, freedom prospers in moral values and tyranny thrives in moral decay. 11. Truth requires little explanation, therefore beware of verbose doctrines. The great principles are revealed in brevity. 12. Truth does not fear investigation. 13. Unfounded belief is pitfall. A people who do not check the validity and effect of their beliefs with reason will suffer or perish. 14. In accord with nature's laws, nothing is more right than the preservation of one's own race. 15. No greater motivating force exists than the certain conviction that one is right. 16. Discernment is a sign of a healthy people. In a sick or dying nation, civilization, culture, or race, substance is abandoned in favor of appearance. 17. Discernment includes the ability to recognize the difference between belief and demonstrable reality. 18. There exists no such thing as rights or privileges under the laws of nature. The deer being stalked by a hungry lion has no right to life, however, he may purchase life by obedience to nature-ordained instincts for vigilance and flight. Similarly, men have no rights to life, liberty, or happiness. These circumstances may be purchased by oneself, by one's family, by one's tribe, or by one's ancestors, but they are nonetheless purchases and are not rights. Furthermore, the value of these purchases can only be maintained through vigilance and obedience to natural law. 19. A people who are not convinced of their uniqueness and value will perish. 20. The white race has suffered invasions and brutality from Africa and Asia for thousands of years. For example, Attila and the Asiatic Huns who invaded Europe in the 5th century, raping, plundering, and killing from the Alps to the Baltic and the Caspian Seas. This scenario was repeated by the Mongols of Genghis Khan 800 years later. Note here that the American Indians are not Native Americans, but are racially Mongolians. In the 8th century, hundreds of years before Negroes were brought to America, the North African Moors of mixed racial background invaded and conquered Portugal, Spain, and part of France. So, the attempted guilt trip placed on the white race by civilization's executioners is invalid under both historical circumstance and the natural law, which denies interspecies compassion. The fact is, all races have benefited immeasurably from the creative genius of the Aryan people. 21. People who allow others not of their race to live among them will perish because the inevitable result of a racial integration is racial interbreeding, which destroys the characteristics and existence of a race. Forced integration is deliberate and malicious genocide, particularly for a people like the white race, who are now a small minority in the world. 22. In the final analysis, a race or species is not judged superior or inferior by its accomplishments, but by its will and ability to survive. 23. Political, economic, and religious systems may be destroyed and resurrected by men, but the death of a race is eternal. 24. No race of people can indefinitely continue their existence without territorial imperatives in which to propagate, protect, and promote their own kind. 25. A people without a culture exclusively their own will perish. 26. Nature has put a certain antipathy between races and species to preserve the individuality and existence of each. Violation of the territorial imperative necessary to preserve that antipathy leads to either conflict or mongrelization. 27. It is not constructive to hate those of other races, or even those of mixed races. But a separation must be maintained for the survival of one's own race. One must, however, hate with a pure and perfect hatred those of one's own race who commit treason against one's own kind and against the nations of one's own kind. One must hate with perfect hatred all those people or practices which destroy one's people, one's culture, or the racial exclusiveness of one's territorial imperative. 28. The concept of a multiracial society violates every natural law for species preservation. 29. The concept of equality is declared a lie by every evidence of nature. It is a search for the lowest common denominator, and its pursuit will destroy every superior race, nation, or culture. In order for a plow horse to run as fast as a racehorse, you would first have to cripple the racehorse. Conversely, in order for a racehorse to pull as much as a plow horse, you would first have to cripple the plow horse. In either case, the pursuit of equality is the destruction of excellence. 30. The instincts for racial and species preservation are ordained by nature. 31. Instincts are nature's perfect mechanism for the survival of each race and species. The human weakness of rationalizing situations for self-gratification must not be permitted to interfere with these instincts. 32. Miscegenation, that is, race mixing, is and has always been the greatest threat to the survival of the Aryan race. 33. Interspecies compassion is contrary to the laws of nature and is therefore suicidal. If a wolf were to intercede to save a lamb from a lion, he would be killed. Today, we see the white man taxed so heavily that he cannot afford children. The taxes raised are then used to support the breeding of tens of millions of non-whites, many of whom then demand the last white females for breeding partners. As you can see, man is subject to all the laws of nature. This has nothing to do with morality, hatred, good or evil. Nature does not recognize the concepts of good and evil in interspecies relationships. If the lion eats the lamb, it is good for the lion and evil for the lamb. If the lamb escapes and the lion starves, it is good for the lamb and evil for the lion. So we see the same incident is labeled both good and evil. This cannot be, for there are no contradictions within nature's laws. 34. The instinct for sexual union is part of nature's perfect mechanism for species preservation. It begins early in life and often continues until late in life. It must not be repressed. Its purpose, reproduction, must not be thwarted either. Understand that for thousands of years, our females bore children at an early age. Now, in an attempt to conform to and compete in an alien culture, they deny their nature-ordained instincts and duties. Teach responsibility, but also have understanding. The life of a race springs from the wombs of its women. He who would judge must first understand the difference between what is good and what is right. 35. Homosexuality is a crime against nature. All nature declares the purpose of the instinct for sexual union is reproduction and thus preservation of the species. The overpowering male sex drive must be channeled toward possession of females as well as elements such as territory and power, which are necessary to keep them. 36. Sexual pornography degrades the nature of all who are involved. A beautiful nude woman is art. A camera between her knees to explore her private parts is pornography. 37. That race whose males will not fight to death to keep and mate with their females will perish. Any white man with healthy instincts feels disgust and revulsion when he sees a woman of his race with a man of another race. Those who today control the media and affairs of the Western world teach that this is wrong and shameful. They label it racism. As any ism, for instance, the word nationalism means to promote one's own nation. Racism merely means to promote and protect the life of one's own race. It is perhaps the proudest word in existence. Any man who disobeys these instincts is anti-nature. 38. In a sick and dying nation, culture, race, or civilization, political dissent and traditional values will be labeled and persecuted as heinous crimes by inquisitors clothing themselves in jingoistic patriotism. 39. A people who are ignorant of their past will defile the present and destroy the future. 40. A race must honor above all earthly things those who have given their lives or freedom for the preservation of the folk. 41. The folk, namely the members of the race, are the nation. Racial loyalties must always supersede geographical and national boundaries. If this is taught and understood, it will end fratricidal wars. Wars must not be fought for the benefit of another race. 42. The nation's leaders are not rulers. They are servants and guardians. They are not to serve for personal gain. Choose only a guardian who has no interest in the accumulation of material things. 43. Choose and judge your leaders, also called guardians. Thus, those who seek always to limit the power of government are of good heart and conscience. Those who seek to expand the power of government are base tyrants. 44. No government can give anything to anybody without first taking it from another. Government is, by its very nature, legalized taking. A limited amount of government is a necessary burden for national defense and internal order. Anything more is counterproductive to freedom and liberty. 45. The organic founding law, namely the constitution of a nation, must not be amendable by any method other than unanimous consent of all parties thereto and with all parties present. Otherwise, the doors are opened for the advent of that most dangerous and deadly form of government, democracy. 46. In a democracy, those who control the media, and thus the minds of the electorate, have power undreamed by kings or dictators. 47. The simplest way to describe a democracy is this. Three people form a government, each having one vote. Then two of them vote to steal the wealth of the third. 48. The latter stages of a democracy are filled with foreign wars, because the bankrupt system attempts to preserve itself by plundering other nations. 49. In a democracy, that which is legal is seldom moral, and that which is moral is often illegal. 50. A democracy is always followed by a strong man. Some call him dictator. It is the only way to restore order out of the chaos caused by a democracy. Pick your strong man wisely. He must be a guardian in his heart. He must be one who has shown that his only purpose in life is the preservation of the folk. His ultimate aim must be to restore the rule of law based on the perfect laws of nature. Do not choose him by his words. Choose one who has sacrificed all in the face of tyranny. Choose one who has endured and persevered. This is the only reliable evidence of his worthiness and motives. 51. A power system will do anything, no matter how corrupt or brutal, to preserve itself. 52. Tyrannies cannot be ended without the use of force. 53. Those who commit treason disguise their deeds in proclamations of patriotism. 54. Propaganda is a major component in all power systems, both secular and religious. False propaganda is a major component of unprincipled power systems. All power systems endeavor to convince their subjects that the system is good, just beneficent and noble, as well as worthy of perpetuation and defense. The more jingoistic propaganda issued, the more suspicious one should be of its truth. 55. Political power, in the final analysis, is created and maintained by force. 56. A power system, secular or religious, which employs extensive calls to patriotism or requires verbosity and rhetoric for its preservation, is masking tyranny. 57. Propaganda is a legitimate and necessary weapon in any struggle. The elements of successful propaganda are simplicity, emotion, repetition, and brevity. Also, since men believe what they want to believe, and since they want to believe that which they perceive as beneficial to themselves, then successful propaganda must appeal to the perceived self-interest of those to whom it is disseminated. 58. Tyrannies teach what to think. Free men learn how to think. 59. Beware of men who increase their wealth by the use of words. Particularly beware of the lawyers or priests who deny natural law. 60. The patriot being led to the Inquisition's dungeons or the executioner's axe will be condemned the loudest by his former friends and allies, for thus they seek to escape the same fate. 61. The sweet goddess of peace lives only under the protective arm of the ready god of war. 62. The organic founding law of a nation must state, with unmistakable and irrevocable specificity, the identity of the homogeneous racial cultural group for whose welfare it was formed, and that the continued existence of the nation is singularly for all time for the welfare of that specific group only. 63. That race or culture which lets others influence or control any of the following will perish: organs of information, educational institutions, religious institutions, political offices, creation of their money, judicial institutions, cultural institutions, economic life. 64. Just laws require little explanation. Their meaning is irrevocable in simplicity and specificity. 65. Men's emotions are stirred far more effectively by the spoken word than by the written word. This is why a ruling tyranny will react more violently to gatherings of dissenters than to books or pamphlets. 66. The organic founding law of the nation, or any law, is exactly as pertinent as the will and power to enforce it. 67. An unarmed or non-militant people will be enslaved. 68. Some say the pen is more powerful than the sword. Perhaps so. Yet the pen without the sword has no authority. 69. Tyrannies are usually built step by step and disguised by noble rhetoric. 70. The difference between a terrorist and a patriot is control of the press. 71. The judgments of the guardians, the leaders, must be true to natural law and tempered by reason. 72. Materialism is base and destructive. The guardians of a nation must constantly warn against and combat a materialistic spirit in the nation. Acquisition of wealth and property as need for the well-being of one's family and obtained by honorable means is right and proper. Exploitation, particularly through usury, is destructive to a nation. 73. Materialism leads men to seek artificial status through wealth or property. True social status comes from service to family, race, and nation. 74. Materialism ultimately leads to conspicuous, unnecessary consumption, which in turn leads to the rape of nature and destruction of the environment. It is unnatural. The true guardians of the nation must be wholly untainted by materialism. 75. The function of a merchant or salesman is to provide a method of exchange. A merchant who promotes unnecessary consumption and materialism must not be tolerated. 76. The only lawful functions of money are as a medium of exchange, and especially usury are unlawful. Usury, interest at any percentage, is a high crime which cannot be tolerated. 77. A nation with an aristocracy of money, lawyers, or merchants will become a tyranny. 78. The simplest way to describe a usury-based central banking system is this. The bankers demand the property of the nation as collateral for their loans. At interest, more money is owed them than they created with the loans. So eventually the bankers foreclose on the nation. 79. Usury, interest, inflation, and oppressive taxation are the theft by deception and destroy the moral fabric of the nation. 80. Wealth gained without sacrifices or honest labor will usually be misused. 81. Nothing in nature is static. Either the life force grows and expands, or it decays and dies. 82. Respect must be earned. It cannot be demanded or assumed. 83. Avoid a vexatious man, for his venom will poison your own nature. 84. Self-discipline is a mark of higher man. 85. One measure of a man is cheerfulness in adversity. 86. A fool judges others by their words. A wise man judges others by their actions and accomplishments. 87. In our relationships or interactions, as in all of nature's laws, to each action there is a reaction. That which we plant will be harvested, if not by ourselves, then by another. 88. These are sure signs of a sick or dying nation. If you see any of them, your guardians are committing treason, mixing in destruction of the founding race, destruction of the family units, oppressive taxation, corruption of the law, terror and suppression against those who warn of the nation's error, immorality, drugs, drunkenness, etc. Infanticide, now called abortion, destruction of the currency, inflation or usury, aliens in the land, alien culture, materialism, so foreign wars, guardians, leaders who pursue wealth or glory, homosexuality, religion not based on natural law.